From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. While tens of millions of Americans lose their livelihoods and struggle to put food on the table during the coronavirus pandemic, billionaires are laughing all the way to the bank. Since the start of this year alone, the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos, saw his wealth increase by a whopping $25 billion, bringing his total net worth to $143.1 billion. Now a new report sheds much-needed light on how the wealthy in America have become wealthier as the rest of us have become poorer. The Institute for Policy Studies has released a new report whose title says it all. Billionaire Bonanza 2020, Wealth Windfalls, Tumbling Taxes, and Pandemic Profiteers. Its author, Chuck Collins, now joins me. Chuck is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs the program on inequality and the common good. He's written a number of books, including 99-1, How Wealth Inequality is Wrecking the World and What We Can Do About It. And Born on Third Base, a one percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. Welcome to the program, Chuck.
Hey, great to be with you, Sonali.
So, you know, the pandemic seems to have changed everything about American society, but one thing seems to be the same, which is that the rich are getting richer. But are they getting even richer than they would have were it not for the pandemic? What did your report, Billionaire Bonanza 2020, find?
Well, you may remember a month ago, there were all these stories about, you know, the billionaires have lost $400 billion of wealth, you know, U.S. billionaires seeing their wealth go down. What we found is that the wealth not only is increasing, but for certain segments, it's surging. So the total billionaire wealth from this year is now surpassed last year. And that's surprising, because in years past, when there's been economic downturns and the like, you know, billionaire wealth has taken a couple of years to recover back to, you know, say in 2008, you know, it went down $300 billion. It took almost 3 years to get back to 2007 levels. Here we're seeing some segments, some of the billionaires, where their wealth is increasing by more than $1 billion. So it's surprising how well the billionaire class is doing.
So I had cited in my introduction Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon, which I suppose it shouldn't be surprising that Amazon, as an online retail seller, has done so well during the pandemic. It was sort of perfectly poised for this moment as more and more people were under quarantine. They began relying on delivery services, and so Amazon gained probably just masses of new consumers. But I wasn't prepared for the amount by which Bezos became richer. He became $25 billion richer since January. I mean, that is... most of us will never see a $1 million in our lifetime, let alone a billion, let alone $25 billion in just 3 months. How has he taken, I mean, is it just purely Amazon sales that have driven his wealth, or has Congress sort of rigged it in favor of people like him?
Well, it's historically unprecedented, the growth in wealth. I mean, I think it is clearly a result of the pandemic and the fact that people are, you know, doing home deliveries, and that our Main Street businesses are struggled or shuttered. So that's having a huge boost. That's a huge boost to Amazon stock. Mackenzie Bezos, who's also, you know, owns 3% of Amazon, has seen her wealth rapidly increase. But I also think, you know, that we're not doing enough to support Main Street in this process and enable smaller businesses to be able to continue to do, you know, online businesses as well. So Amazon is crowding out a lot of Main Street businesses right now.
So the subtitle of your report, Wealth Windfalls, Tumbling Taxes, and Pandemic Profiteers. How has the tax structure benefited billionaires like Bezos?
Well, we looked at some longer term trends, because of course this is the year 2020, and so we've been looking at, you know, since 1990 and 1980, what are some of the billionaire trends? One of the most shocking things we found is that billionaire taxes, the amount of taxes billionaires pay as a percentage of their wealth, has gone down 79% since 1980. So that's a huge reduction in their tax obligations. So that's just part of the long-term trend. And of course, the billionaires didn't cause the pandemic, but the fact that they've been lobbying to cut their taxes kind of made our society more fragile, more economically unprepared for the pandemic.
So there's fewer revenues coming into the pot of money from which Congress is drawing to give us things like paid sick leave or the stimulus checks.
Yeah, and this is money that could have been taxed and spent on building a better emergency response system, of having a better public health system in place. We're all the inequalities in our society that we entered this pandemic with are at risk of being accelerated, both the concentration of wealth at the top as well as the conditions for working people getting worse.
Now, the prevailing economic wisdom we are told from advisors for individuals is make sure you have 3 to 6 months of reserve money, of expenses in your savings. And, yet when it comes time, when we have crises like the ones we're seeing right now, we see corporations coming begging for bailouts from the government because they don't keep those reserves, or if they do, they're in offshore tax havens. Or they're paying them out in corporate dividends to these very individuals that your report highlights. So, it's interesting because that connection isn't made that when it comes to times of crisis, if a corporation doesn't have reserves on hand, no one turns to those corporate executives to say, you need to pour some of that money that you made off of corporate profits back into your company.
Yeah, that one of the infuriating things right now is all these companies are getting huge bailouts who have been reckless. They have not been setting aside reserves. They've been extracting wealth from their companies and paying executives high CEO pay or just buying back shares from stockholders. They have not been doing contingency planning, and now we're having to bail them out. I think it is an interesting to juxtapose this with what is the experience of so many working families? I mean, what we're finding, and we found this a year ago, during the government shutdown, how many people are living close to the edge? We found the number of households with zero or negative wealth has increased over the last couple decades, from 15% to 21% of U.S. households, zero or negative wealth. The next 20% have barely enough, a month's financial reserve or less. And, really 60 to 70% of the population does not have the sort of 3 months financial reserves that most financial planners will recommend that you have. So that's a lot of us living close to the edge. And so when you have a pandemic like this come along, it's great, to get a small stimulus check, but that isn't going to fill in the gap, the enormous gap of just not having basic income.
The money that some of these men, and they're almost all men, are, sitting on is equivalent to the wealth of nations, right?
Yeah, I mean, we the amount of wealth that Jeff Bezos has made since the beginning of the year is equal, or it's greater actually than the gross domestic product of Honduras, in 2018. So, these are fantastic concentrations of wealth. I should say another group of what we call pandemic profiteers includes the owners of Zoom, the major shareholders of Microsoft that own Skype and Teams. These communications platforms that you and I are talking on are as essential as electricity now in our lives. And yet we, unlike utilities that are better regulated and for the public interest, we're paying billions of dollars. We're enriching the online video platform companies when these things should probably be public utilities.
The statement made recently by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell when he was asked about the fact that states are going bankrupt as they're struggling to meet the needs of their residents is, well, maybe they should fall into bankruptcy. You never hear people like him apply that logic to the corporations that many of these executives sit on the boards of.
Yeah, it sort of reveals a sort of a level of cruelty I mean, because states are playing such an important role right now, especially given the incompetence of the federal response. States are the front lines of trying to patch in and patch together emergency healthcare provision, try to enforce new rules and practices, and caring for people. And yet, states do not have the ability, like the federal government, to sort of print money, and like the Federal Reserve, put money, create money that can be lent and invested and allocated. So, the federal government should be helping states right now because that is actually where the frontline response is.
So the standard logic that government has been operating on, that the neoliberal capitalists who are part of government have been operating on for decades, is that a rising tide will lift all boats, right? If the wealthy among us have money, if you pour money into the top, it'll trickle down to the bottom and everybody will be wealthier. What does your report tell us about the farce that this logic has become?
Yeah, I mean, for billionaires in America, it's heads we win, tails you lose. I mean, the economy is wired to extract wealth and move it up to the billionaire class. And we may have been as a public not paying as much attention to that, but during the pandemic, it's becoming unseemly and immoral to the extent that that's happening. So we're what we're you know I think we're living through. What is it like to live in an oligarchy where the political system is captured by a billionaire class and the rules are benefiting them, including how the stimulus proposals are designed? I mean, right now we just found out that, $170 billion will go to people, 82% of the stimulus dollar amount is going to go to households with incomes over $1 million. These are not the people who need help right now. The people who need help are, the
You're
third
talking about
population.
the latest stimulus package that Congress has just passing this week?
Actually, it was the previous one. I guess we could
The
call it
CARES Act?
stimulus, the CARES Act. What we found is that $170 billion is going to go to people with incomes over $1 million. So we're trying to
Wow.
actually get members of Congress are trying to repeal that provision. But I think, unfortunately, we're going to just see all these abuses because the powerful political actors are inserting their own special provisions. There are no public hearings. There's no real. Finally, the House has created an oversight system, and I think we're going to start to see some of the abuses get exposed. But a lot of that's the money's out the door.
In your report, you name the names of the billionaires that have benefited from the pandemic profiteers, as you call them. Among them are men like Joshua Harris, who's the co-founder of Apollo Global Management and a number of professional sports teams. And he has links to Jared Kushner. You point out that he is in the right position to influence the Trump administration's economic response. How have men like this one used their money to politically pressure Congress to essentially ensure more money continues to flow up to them?
Yeah, what we're seeing is that the big pandemic profiteers are the technologies and companies that are winning out in a pandemic, the medical device companies, and then some of these investor types who quickly have access inside information. Pardon me, the connections to the Kushners and others, where they're in there rigging the rules and getting in on financial devices and pharmaceutical products that are being tested and have the potential for enormous windfalls. So that's where we really should have some kind of pandemic profiteering oversight committee.
Right, let's move to the recommendations part of your report. What would such an oversight committee look like? What do you think it should be charged with?
Well, the House has created an oversight committee. They're actively watching what's happening around the stimulus bill. But we should be looking at profiteering in the society in general. So very similar to during World War II, during the Korean War, during World War II, Harry Truman, who eventually became president, had the Truman Commission, which oversaw war industries, war profiteering. So we should have special scrutiny over the medical industry right now. Big pharmaceutical, billions of dollars of capital are moving into trying to find vaccines and solutions to the health crisis. Nobody should be making billions off that. So those are two oversight things that I think are critical at this moment.
What about just taxing these individuals? There's even been an idea floated of a one-time federal tax, wealth tax on these billionaires. What does your report specifically propose?
Yeah, we think, eventually there's going to have to be a public discussion, and Congress is going to have to figure out how to pay for these trillions of dollars flowing out the door. Our recommendation is that the first several trillion dollars of revenue raised should come from the billionaire class, should come from the top 1/10 of 1%. The first thing we can do immediately, because we already have an income tax system in place, is a millionaire surcharge, an income tax, a 10% income tax on incomes over 3 million. Start with that. Right there, you're almost raising $1 trillion of revenue. We should put in place a wealth tax. We should have a progressive inheritance tax and treat capital gains as ordinary income and tax it the same as work. If you do those focused on that billionaire class and that top 1/10 of 1%, we can raise trillions of dollars and hold harmless low-income and middle-income and working families in this country who are still going to be trying to recover a couple of years from now from the economic upheaval we're living through.
And it's not as if these billionaires are going to be hurting in any way by having a few billions of dollars each taken from them.
That's right. I mean, we're these the, you know that's where a wealth tax is really essential. And part of our report is saying, look, it's really if this makes a perfect case for a wealth tax, not just to raise revenue, but to save our democracy from these concentrations of wealth and power. Another recommendation we have, which you probably haven't heard about, but there's a lot of charitable wealth that's essentially been sidelined. So there's $1 trillion in private foundations. There's another 120 billion in donor-advised funds.
So this is rich people basically putting their money into what they say are nonprofit charities, but that money is sort of just sitting there, not actually being dispensed.
Yes, it's essentially sitting on the sideline. Now we're going to hear a lot about voluntary efforts. We're going to hear about billionaires, generously giving 0.00001% of their wealth to help their fellow humans in this moment. But that's not a substitute for a government mandate. So we are proposing an emergency charity stimulus where donor-advised funds have to have a mandatory payout of at least 10%. They should be moving that money out. And private foundations should double their payout from 5% to 10%. That would move $100 billion a year to the nonprofit charitable sector.
Which is also struggling desperately right now.
Absolutely. These are, the local nonprofits, institutions. Many of them are doing frontline caring for people. Those are organizations where it's, not a lot of money compared to what the whole economy needs. But for the nonprofit independent sector, that's a huge infusion that could be a lifeline. And if you say, look, let's do a 3-year emergency charity stimulus, let's get that money that's been warehousing. By the way, the wealthy have already taken their tax breaks for those donations,
Right.
right?
That's why they put them in those funds, is because they get tax breaks from them. But then those funds aren't actually being distributed.
So we're just saying, fulfill the second part of the promise here. Move it to the active charities. Don't just
It's
sort of.
outrageous. And I want to quote from your report, which is a billionaire bonanza. Private foundations hold an estimated $1.2 trillion. They're only required to pay out 5% a year, and overhead expenses can be included toward this 5%. So a billionaire can, hire their son or daughter to administer the fund and pay them $1 million, $2, $3, $4 million a year, and which, would account for big chunk of that 5%, and then use whatever good that small amount of expense does as positive PR, public relations for themselves, and then sit on the rest of it. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous.
No, and it's a great example where, again, the tax rules give incentives for wealthy people. They reduce their taxes. For every dollar a billionaire gives to their charities, pet charity, you and I are chipping in anywhere from 40 to 60 cents in lost tax revenue that allows that gift to happen. So,
Wow.
we the people should insist that those warehoused funds move right now. And that's something, it's not going to add to the deficit. It's not going to require any new tax revenue. The tax break has already been taken.
Right. It's essentially asking them to fulfill the mandate of a charity. If they're going to put money towards charitable uses, actually put it towards charitable uses instead of having it sitting there doing nothing at a time when there's such great need. One of the other things that you point out in your report is that, of course, we have billionaires taking advantage of offshore tax havens. They have set aside money for themselves in, places like the Bahamas, and what is being done about that? This is money that they've essentially stolen from the US government.
Yeah, and this is a bigger challenge. I mean, again, wealthy people know that at some point we're going to have to figure out how to pay for these trillions of dollars. And so there are wealthy families that are using their, I call them, they hire the wealth defense industry. They hire their tax attorneys and trust attorneys and wealth managers and accountants to figure out how to make their wealth vanish from
Wow.
the ledger, if you will. And we estimate $21 trillion globally. Probably $6 or $7 trillion of US household wealth is just not even counted in these equations. And it's not necessarily offshore. It could be in trusts, shell companies. So we're saying, look, it's almost like we have to watch out for capital flight. And an immediate thing we can do is require corporate transparency. There should not be Delaware companies where you don't know who the real owner is. There should be disclosure of what they call beneficial ownership. Who's the real beneficiary of all these companies and trusts and shell entities? And that'll help us in the next couple of years make sure that trillions and more doesn't just vanish when it comes time to pay the bills.
I wouldn't expect Republicans to enact any of the recommendations that you have suggested, but what about Democrats who claim on paper that they are for many of these things? Is anybody in Congress talking about some of these kinds of things? I know you cite Senator Elizabeth Warren's idea. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, together with Senator Bernie Sanders, have proposed a separate idea of some sort of universal basic income to Americans during the pandemic. Are there any progressive economic plans that Congress is tackling right now during the pandemic to address how tens of millions of Americans are suffering?
Well, I think that the good news is there are a lot of good ideas, good proposals. We saw actually the House's original stimulus bill had some terrific provisions that would have really kind of helped us recover in a way that wouldn't worsen inequality. And those ideas are out there, and people are building power around them. Some of them do actually have some bipartisan support. The idea of corporate transparency, the House, with Republican support, did pass a bill in the fall to require this disclosure provision, so we know where the money is being hidden. So that shows that that idea could potentially move at a time when we're worried about capital flight. So I think there's really good ideas bubbling up. They're kind of running into the Mitch McConnell Senate wall, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be pushing hard for some of those changes. And backing up the Democrats and the and progressives who are, the champions of what's it really going to take here to move us forward.
Well, Chuck, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, as always. We'll post a link directly to the report we've been discussing from our website. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guest has been Chuck Collins, senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs the program on inequality and the common good. We've been discussing his new report, Billionaire Bonanza 2020: Wealth Windfalls, Tumbling Taxes, and Pandemic Profiteers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.